It's time for us to accept God's invitation to salvation. It's time for us to accept God's love. It's time for us to accept God's redeeming love. It's time for us to stop judging our brothers and sisters by their outside appearance. It's time to ask God to cast the enemy out of our lives, out of our homes, to rebuke him and mean it. It's time for us to believe that Jesus is coming back. And that's not fake news. Amen. Choir's been beautiful today. Thank you all for such gracious music. I'm from the old school. I'm a dinosaur. And I loved the music without the piano, and I loved it with the piano. Give God the praise. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you get to heaven?
Yeah.
And be able to sing with people that know how to sing? I'm not talking about you all. I'm talking about myself. Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. All week long, the enemy's been after me. I expected that. He stays after me, because once I gave up the life he wanted me to have, he decided, I'm not going to give up trying to get you, but he knows I've surrendered my all to my Heavenly Father. So I was getting confirmations from my prayer partner at noon that what I was going to say, she was literally preaching to me over the phone the exact thing that I was going to say. And I said, you've heard my sermon. You don't have to be there. But I give God the glory. I give God the praise. Because the title is, It's Time. Not time to beat the clock, but it's time. When I was a child, holidays was a very special time in my household, where you would, all the family and relatives would come together, and they would eat and talk and laugh, and then all of a sudden, the grown folks would separate to do grown folks talk. Anybody familiar with that?
Yeah.
And they would tell you, this is grown folk talk. Go on about your own business. I was nosy. I would find a quiet spot and pretend that I was asleep, and I would listen to what they were saying, because there was wisdom in what they were saying, even though I didn't fully understand everything that they were saying. It was still up here. And the great thing about it is, the one thing that they constantly said, tell me if I'm wrong, girl, I don't know what's going on in this world. I never seen stuff like this. I was listening to Patria talking about the program on TV with the woman in the bra and panties. And they would talk, girl, I know the Lord is coming soon, because we're just not going to be able to continue this way. And then in 1962, for some reason this has been embedded in my mind, Billy Graham said this, if the Lord does not hurry up and come, he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. That was 50 years ago. So I'm saying, just how bad was Sodom and Gomorrah? Let's pray. Most loving, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, it's time. It's time for us to quit looking at fake news and to realize, Father, that you are coming soon. So I'm asking that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, because you laid it on my heart, and that, Father, I will speak it according to your will and your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's time for us to believe that Jesus is coming back. And that's not fake news. We're hearing so much fake news nowadays. I had never heard that much about fake news until number 45 got in the White House. But my question today, my brothers and sisters, is whose word are you living by? Whether you're living by the word of the Lord, or are you living by what man say is all right to do? I had to ask myself that. I had to ask myself, whose word truly am I living by? I remember King David in Psalms 139, 23 and 24 said, he asked the Lord, he said, search me, Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked ways in me. I tell you, when you ask the Lord to search your heart, you better be ready. And when you ask him to show you what he finds, ask him to hold on to you. Because when I did it, I thought from my perspective that I was a wholesome, good Christian woman. Until the Lord said, through the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something about yourself. He said, you got all this self-esteem. You're all puffed up, full of pride, thinking you're all that. Are you aware whose hand you're playing into? Because it's definitely not mine. I was playing in the hands of Satan. And it's, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, no, that ain't me. But then I realized my Heavenly Father knew me much better than I knew myself. So I said, Lord, I got to get back on track, which wasn't easy because I had to be cautious, because you can get so caught up in self that you forget that Satan is waiting for a little crack in the armor so that he can come through. And so I had to let go of self in order to grab hold of the hand of my Savior and to ask for the Holy Spirit to lead the way. So I asked myself once again, Lord, I asked you a question. Am I living my life according to your written word, or am I just going by what man says? And the Lord said, do you truly want me to show you yourself? And he says, because we live in a society where we have a tendency to look at the outward appearance of people. I was a victim of that. When I was in college, there was this tall, black, 6'6", good-looking black dude. Oh, man, when he walked down the hallway, he's a professor, you could not hesitate to turn and watch him walk away. The women, the girls, oh man, they would always talk about Professor Wells. Girl, did you see Professor Wells today? And the thing it is, we would be in places where we would know he would walk by so we could look at him. But then he disappeared. And we wonder what happened to Professor Wells? And we found out he was done some unsavory things. Not with the women. I won't say any more. We had judged him by the outside of his appearance. We thought he was all that. And so I was thinking about the story at that time when that happened. I might have been outside of the Lord, but I was still studying his word. And 1 Samuel 16 came to me, where Saul had been rejected as the king for disobedience. And so Samuel was led to Jesse to pick a king out of his 8 sons. He goes there. The firstborn he sees, when you read it, this is what he says. Samuel took just one look. Remember that song? Just one look. Some of you do. That's okay. Some of you didn't listen to that. I'm sure some of you all weren't listening to that, but I was, so I confess my sin. Just one look. He looked and he said, surely, this is who God wants. He's good looking, well built, just exactly what you expect a king to be. Just one look. But the Lord had to tap Samuel on the shoulder and say, look, man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. And I thought about that. I said, how often have I allowed myself to judge people by what I see on the outside? But once I took the time to get to know the individual, I found that they were such a wonderful, beautiful person. So getting back to asking the Lord to show me myself, and he began to show me. And I was sitting on the couch, and I thought I was asleep. And he began to show me all these different things about myself. My pulse sped up. My heart rate went up. I broke out in a cold sweat. I felt like James Brown. You break out in a cold sweat. But I was shaking. I was trembling. I began to cry because the picture that he was unfolding before me was not the person I thought I was. But I had to remember, God looks at the heart and not the outward appearance. I cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me, Lord Jesus. And I felt his warmth, his presence coming, saying, I got you. I got you. Always have had you, but I just needed to get your attention. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, I found that I was in need of the high priest, our Savior Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace and help in the time of our need and trouble. So Brother Harold, go on to that throne of grace. Go boldly to the throne of grace and seek his help because you are his child. And you might be going through some trials. You might be going through some tribulation, but remember, he went to the cross because he loved you and everybody out here. I had to establish an advertisement. Thank you. So I went boldly to the throne of grace, seeking forgiveness, the comforting words from my Savior, knowing that if I had been the only one, he would have died for me. So think about that. If you all had been the only one, he would have died for you. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me. He said, don't forget that Jesus does not understand our struggles with sin because it's been around since the beginning of time. Took me to these scriptures. Excuse me. Adam sinned. Noah got drunk and exposed himself. Abraham lied. Jacob deceived and showed favoritism to one son. Moses lost his patience. Eli was not a good parent. David committed adultery. Solomon was a womanizer. And Samson was self-centered. So that you men in the audience don't think I'm picking on you, I'm going to throw the woman caught in adultery. And the thing about it is that God forgave them all. Go and sin no more. He's willing to say the same thing to each and every one of us. Go and sin no more. So I realized that the only way my iniquities could be removed from me was going to the Lord, confessing and repenting, faithfully receiving his word, his forgiveness, because he's a loving God who wants to forgive. But he reminded me, you really have to confess. Because if you are harboring any envies, anything that is evil, that is not of me, then you don't love me. So you need to get rid of it. Get rid of it. So it was time for me to realize just how much God loved me. He was always willing to forgive. This Bible here gives many examples of God's forgiveness. Look at King David. I'm going back to King David's again. King David was a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine being a person after God's own heart? Can you imagine Mark, God saying, Mark, you're a man after God's heart. Any of you, just think, having God whisper to you, I love you so much, you're after my heart. He committed adultery. He lied. He murdered. He damaged his family. When you read it, he damaged his whole family. When you read through it, you'll see. But we had a God that was willing to forgive David. And David, at that time, I call it temporary insanity. That's what I called it. We all go through that period of something that takes over you, and you say, I don't know why I did that. As Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. So David's words, when you look at Psalms 86, verse 5 and 6, David goes and asks for forgiveness. He says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. The word here, ready to forgive. And plenteous in mercy. The word is plenteous. Forgiveness, plenteous in mercy unto all who call upon thee. And he said, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. King David earnestly, humbly went before the Lord, as we should, and asked the Lord, forgive me, those words. And God was willing to forgive as David had asked the Lord. And he asked, Lord, give me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I asked that. I said, Lord, give me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And he did. No different than what the Heavenly Father is willing to do for everybody that's here and for those that are at home listening in. He will, but you have to ask. You have to be willing. Because that's what type of God he is. He forces nothing, nothing upon you. I was thinking, it came time for me to get rid of the baggage, the trash, to stop worrying about what this one said, how this one treated me. Anyone who said, I hate you, I don't like you. I had to get all of that baggage. I had to ask the Lord, take this baggage out of me. Get rid of it. Because it was holding me back from having that deeper relationship that I needed with my Heavenly Father. Think about it. Are any of you all carrying around things that happened years ago? I know somebody that can go back to the 40s, to the 50s, to the 60s. Do you know somebody who can go back that many years and remind you, I remember when so-and-so said this. I had a friend, I went to a funeral, and he was crying. We couldn't figure out. I was in college with him. And he said, you know, I heard him, but I never had a chance to ask him to forgive me. He said, that was 40 years ago, Kat, and And I can't now. I said, let it go. Give it to the Lord. Let it go, because there's nothing you can do about it. People hold on to things from friends who have passed on, and they be holding on to it saying, I didn't get the time. Well, it's time now to let it go, to get rid of that garbage, get rid of that trash, because when you hold on to it, guess who you're holding on to? Do I need to say it? The enemy, he loves it when you hold on to things that people have did to you. So, my brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you that when you have a God that created us, think about that. He created us. He didn't give us four legs. He didn't give us wings. He didn't turn us into no little bug or butterfly. He gave us 2 feet. He took his hands. He took his hands and he created us. In his image, he made us according to his likeness. And that's what Genesis 1 says. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Look at each other's. Take a look. Look across the sea. Look at your husband. Look at your friend. Just look at each other's. When you look at each other's, you're looking at the image of God. When I'm walking, when I read that, I try to read the Bible through every year. And in January, when I got to that part, I found myself walking through malls looking at people. And they probably thought I was crazy, because I would smile when I would see them, because what I was seeing was the image of God, because he made us in his likeness. Because God's image in us is moral, ethical, intellectual ability. We represent and reflect his majesty right here on earth. And we are his ambassadors. Amen. We should act like it. We can't be going around here holding grudges on nobody. When you're an ambassador, you're there to clear the air, to show the true character. So if we're ambassadors of God, then we need to start acting like we're ambassadors of God. We need to stop looking at the outward appearance of our brothers and sisters who have been made in the image of God, and realize that if you went down in that baptismal pool here or any place else, then you came up with a new heart. A seed had been planted in that heart. The seed of Jesus was planted there. The seed of love. And there's somebody out there that wants to squash it. He wants to bury it because he's building his army, because he knows time is short. So my brothers and sisters, we don't have time to concern ourselves with how one speaks, how they dress, what they drive, where they come from, how they look, where they live, what they eat, and their profession. Because when we get caught up in all of that stuff, we get caught up with the enemy and not the Lord. So it's time for you all to let go, let God. And if you truly believe, John 3:16, I said, if you truly believe, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. Because he loves us. He didn't have to stay on that cross, but he did, praise God. And when I looked at Matthew 22:36-40, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrins, and the scribes had surrounded Jesus and was throwing all these questions at him, just on his case. And finally, I think they coerced this young man. Go on up there. Go on up to him. Ask Jesus this important question. And the young man approaches Jesus and he said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus, I think, was always calm. There's only a couple times in the Bible where he gets upset. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. The young man only asked one question, but Jesus gave him the rest of the answer. He said, that is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't easy to love your neighbors. But with the help of the Lord, you can do it. Amen. I tell you, I had some neighbors. I'm not going to even say anything, because some of you all know about the good neighbor. But we have to remember, everybody's our neighbor. It makes no difference if they're across the street or on the other side of the world. They're our neighbors because they're all God's children. And the thing about it, you have to ask the Lord to wash away your sins. But the only way you can do it, I'm going to ask you, have any of you all allowed the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins? Have any of you? Because you must. Since the beginning of creation, we all have been victims. We have been in an ongoing war. But the one thing about that war, the battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. You can throw your hands up and say, victory. Yes, at hand. Victory is at hand. Because the Lord has already said we do. So when temptation comes our way, urging us to take sides, I want to ask you, have you ever heard these comments? If it feels good, do it. You ever heard that? Go ahead. No one will know. If it feels good, do it. Everybody else is doing it. If you want it, get it. If it looks good to you, go on, hit it. Can't afford it? Credit. That's all right. No one will know. But the thing about it is, Satan knows. God knows. But last week we heard Pastor Liverpool say that God takes all of our sins when we ask for forgiveness, and he casts them into the deepest part of the ocean. But you know who will bring them back up to you? Satan. And somebody you think is your best friend. Somebody that you think is your best friend will say, remember when you did so and so so? Remember, that's the enemy. It's not your friend. I just want to ask you all one question. Who are you serving? Whether you're serving the Lord or whether you're serving the enemy? Are we serving the Lord, our God of creation, over the universe, who heals broken bodies, broken minds, broken hearts, broken lives, broken relationships, who is willing to forgive all of our iniquities and heal all of our diseases, provide what we need and is always on time? Are we serving him? Are we serving the one who is always kicking trash, who's always creating problems, who's working on number 45's heart? Notice, I can't even call his name. It's time. Oh, yes, it's time that we stand. That we stand for something. The Lord is knocking at your heart's door. Ask yourself, are you ready to let him in? Are you ready for that full relationship with the Lord? Not part of the way. But a full relationship. He wants it all. He don't want you just sitting back there saying, well, I'm going to church on Saturday. And after that, I'm probably go eat. And then, hey, whatever. But we have to remember, we're supposed to be onward Christian soldiers, 24/7, 365 days a year, representing, because we are what? Who Who remembers what I said we are? Ambassadors. So we have to act like we're ambassadors. So Jesus paid it all. And that seed that has been planted in us, let it grow. Kick the dirt off of it. Ask the Lord to take the dirt off. And ask, open up the door and say, get thee behind me, Satan. And open up your house door and say, get out. And tell him why you don't want him in your house. You have to tell some of your friends that too. I don't want you in my house no more. I had to tell a friend that because he wanted to smoke in my house. He wanted to smoke in my house. And I told him, you can go out on the deck, you can go outside. He said, no, if I can't smoke here, I won't be coming back. I said, well, then don't let the back door. And so I had to let him go. I just had to let him go. We have to remember that Jesus paid it all. So invite the enemy out. Tell him to get out. Get thee behind me. Pray. Because the enemy always steps aside and leave when you pray. It's time for us to accept God's invitation to salvation. It's time for us to accept God's love. It's time for us to accept God's redeeming love. It's time for us to stop judging our brothers and sisters by their outside appearance. It's time to ask God to cast the enemy out of our lives, out of our homes, to rebuke him and mean it. To tell him to get out, because you don't mean yourself any good. How could he mean any of us any good when he left the best place that he had, the kingdom of heaven? So it's time to ask God to give you a clean heart, to renew a right spirit in you, to ask for the Holy Spirit, to ask him to anoint you every day. Ask for the Holy Spirit, because it ain't gonna come unless you ask. What I'm telling you all happened to me 40 years ago when I came back and gave my life back to the Lord and said, here I am, Lord, use me. Time is short, my brothers and sisters. Noah pleaded for 120 years. Every time that mallet was striking, he was pleading, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. The Lord is coming soon, he's gonna destroy this earth. And some of them probably looked up and said, what's rain? It was Omni 8 got on the ark and the faithful was put to sleep. Then I looked back and I realized 1844 was the year of disappointment. They thought Jesus was coming. That was 175 years ago. How much longer do we think God is going to strive with us? When you see all that trash that's on the TV, on the internet, on the Instagram, the things that's clouding up the minds of our children, that's turning their eyes away from the God, how much longer do you think God is going to strive with all of this stuff? Because if he took out Sodom and Gomorrah, he's coming again. And that is not fake news. You all who are listening at home, and you all that's in the presence of my voice, are you willing to invite Jesus into your heart to cleanse you, purge you from all iniquities? Then it's time to take a stand. Yeah. To stand for God. Stand with me. But before you stand, don't stand because someone else is standing. Stand because you want to follow Jesus. You want to pick up the cross and say, Lord, I want to follow you. Time is short. Stand because you truly want the Lord to give you a clean heart, a clean mind, a clean body and soul, to renew in you a right spirit, to say to the Lord, I'm laying everything at your feet, Jesus, that you may use me in your service. Stand for someone. But let that someone be Jesus. It's time. Who among you will stand today with me? Who among you will stand? Stand if you dare. Stand because you love the Lord. Stand because you want that new heart. Stand because you truly want to stand. And you want to have that renewed spirit. Just remember, time is short. He who hesitates is lost. An hour might be too late, a second, a minute. Stand because you want to surrender all to the Lord. Our most loving, kind, and gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, praise you, glorify you for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy that you desire to give each and every one of us that will surrender and give their lives to you that you may use them. And Father, when we surrender and say, use me, Lord, for your service, help us to mean it. That we will go out and tell our brothers and sisters, time is short. Time to get it together. Time to get yourself prepared. Stay prepared and stay ready. Bless you all. In the name of Jesus, I pray and thank you. Amen and amen.